The Old Testament lesson is from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent the young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you in accordance with all his words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet as if it were a pavement of sapphire stones, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Hebrews chapter 9. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once into all the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that all who are called may receive the promised inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not by force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. And where every commandment of the Lord of the law has been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God has commanded for you." In the same way, he sprinkled the blood both on the tent and on all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table at the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas would betray him answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.' Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message comes from Exodus chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make count for the lamb. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And this you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Israel I will execute justice. I am the Lord. Now the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." This is the command setting up the final plague in Egypt. The Lord said to Moses in chapter 11, verse 1, "I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt, and afterwards he will let you go from here. And when he lets you go, he will surely drive you out here altogether." The last plague was to liberate the children of Israel from Egypt. The last plague involved the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt, and it even would affect the Israelites themselves if they did not follow the instructions in the text. In Exodus 12, verse 23, the mass killing of the people would take place by the hands of the destroyer, which is possibly the angel of death. They're given instructions: kill a male lamb or a male goat without blemish. Do it at twilight. The Lord said, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." This is a meal of lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. The Passover festival itself is about the freedom from Israel. For Christians, it's a freedom from sin itself. John 1:29, Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He became our Passover lamb. When the Israelites smeared the blood on the doorpost, they smeared it in the shape of a cross, foretelling how the Savior would eventually die. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." In Revelation 7, we learn that those who are saved are clothed with white robes covered in the blood of the Lamb. The reason that we escape judgment is God the Father does not see us. Instead, he sees the blood of Christ. He will pass over us then, as the destroyer passed over the houses of the children of Israel. The Passover is significant to Christians as well. Exodus 12:14 says, "So this day shall be a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast, as an everlasting ordinance." In the New Testament times, they were celebrating the Passover as well. Jesus celebrated the Passover, which was our gospel lesson just previously read. In Mark 14, it says, "Now on the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover of the lamb, the disciples said to him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?'" In Luke 22, verses 14 and 15, we read, "When the hour has come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Our Lord's Supper that we will soon celebrate is a part of the Passover celebration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 to 8, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Paul says in that text, let us keep the festival. We do in a form of called the Lord's Supper every other Sunday here at church or on special Sundays during the church year. Celebrating the Lord's Supper is part of the Passover celebration. And the Passover includes a few items, one of which is the removal of unleavened bread. Yeast was seen by the Hebrew people as equating to sin itself. It only took a little bit of yeast for the bread to rise. And anybody who's made bread knows it doesn't take a lot of yeast to make that dough rise. During the dinner, there are four sips of wine. The first two are freedom and deliverance from our sin. The third cup is the cup of redemption. And for Christians, we look at that and say that is the blood of Christ. The fourth cup, the cup of salvation or the cup of thanksgiving, is the new freedom that we have, the eternal life that we enjoy. At the Passover, they also eat celery. Kind of an unusual vegetable to eat, but it's seen as life created and sustained by God. The celery is dipped in the salt water to remind them of the harshness of slavery, because the struggle for freedom begins in suffering. They eat the roasted lamb. The Passover lamb signifies the blood and body of Christ. The sixth element in the Passover is a piece of unleavened bread, which is eaten to symbolize the long-awaited Savior. Then the one I always love, horseradish, is eaten. Got to say, on a sidebar, my daughter and I used to have competitions. Which one could eat the most horseradish sauce? It was a dumb thing we used to do, and I used to pay for it every night afterwards. So I always remember the horseradish as being part of the Passover. But it was to remind them of the bitter life as slaves. As sweet as life gets, we cannot remember that at one time the Hebrews were slaves. Then there is something named coruscant, which is eaten. It's a sweet mixture of apples, honey, and nuts. It reminds us of the sweetness we have due to the forgiveness that is won for us through Jesus Christ. Each part of the Passover meal teaches us something about Christ and what he did for us. Now, this year we were not able to celebrate the Seder dinner because I took a week and a half off to go to Mississippi. But next year we are going to celebrate the Seder dinner and see how it connects to Christ himself. But let's shift our focus to the Lord's Supper. Part of the liturgy is a scaled down version of the Passover. In the Lord's Supper, we focus on the bread and the wine. We must remember the symbolism of the Lord's Supper. As Jews were commanded to celebrate the Passover, so too are Christians commanded to celebrate the Lord's Supper. For it says in 1 Corinthians 11, This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You should recognize those words that are in our liturgy for the Lord's Supper. There are two symbols in the Lord's Supper. When they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." In the bread we receive the body of Christ. In the wine we receive the blood of Christ. Now, how can that be? Our Presbyterian or Reformed brothers have their own idea that it's just a remembrance meal itself. But God says, Christ said himself, "This is my body, this is my blood." How is it that we eat the bread and drink the wine, but we receive the body and blood of Christ? We have the great Lutheran answer, which is?
I don't know.
I don't know how it works. But Christ said it is, therefore it is. And by faith, we accept it. In John chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, "Even so the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." As Easter is approaching in just 3 days, we reflect on the Passover and we reflect on the Lord's Supper. And we remember our Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was slain on the cross and whose blood was spilled to atone for our sins. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.